Good morning, everyone. We're doing Pirkei Avot, and we're up to the fifth chapter, the sixth Mishnah. Asara devarim nivru be'erv Shabbat ben Hashmashot. I know it's early Friday morning, it's 9:30, and it's wow. Everyone here is struggling to keep their eyes open. But can I challenge you with a food for thought? Yes, can we think this morning? Okay, so this Mishnah is going to enumerate 10 things that were created on Friday, Bein Hashmashot, from the time when halachically it's not day nor night, it's in between. And the question we have to ask ourselves here is, we are talking about the Ribono Shel Olam, the master of the world. He created 10 things at twilight. And the question is, what does the Mishnah mean to tell us? Is the Mishnah saying these things were created at a time that the human being would call twilight? Is the Mishnah simply describing a time where things seem like they're already night, but really they're day? Because Hashem ceased creation on Shabbat. So Hashem wasn't creating on Shabbat. Hashem was resting on Shabbat, right? That's what the verse says. So you could say that the Mishnah is really talking about Friday, but it looked so late that it looked like it was already twilight. Or you could say what the Mishnah literally says, that Hashem created these things in Bein Hashmashot, which would mean, firstly, that when we say Hashem created day and night, we mean Hashem created day and night and also a twilight. Meaning we would ordinarily assume that twilight, this time which is an uncertain time, whether it's day or night, we would ordinarily call that time a human doubt. We human beings cannot define the split second when the day ends and the night begins. So we have a period called twilight. But if you ask Hashem, we would have assumed that Hashem doesn't have such a concept. Hashem has day and night, and it's always either day or night. Hashem knows the split second when it switches. And according to this Mishnah, it sounds like even by Hashem, there's a time that Hashem created. There's a halachic definition. There's a halachic reality of Bein Hashmashot. It's not just the human doubt that creates this period of twilight. That's what the Mishnah would seem to be saying, that there is this time that was created. Bein Hashmashot is not only a human doubt. There's a second point that comes out of this. We treat Shabbat as having begun at twilight. As we know from our study of the laws of Shabbat, that the definition of Muktzah is very often defined by the status of something at Bein Hashmashot. If Bein Hashmashot, it was Muktzah, then we assume it's Muktzah. Again, we learned many details about this. But that seems to say that by Hashem, upon Bein Hashmashot, there was no Muktzah. Meaning, Rashi explains that being that us humans can't discern what time Shabbat begins, so we treat things as Shabbat already before it's clearly night, even during the time that we're unclear as to whether it's night. Okay, that I understand. That's our reality. We have to deal with the best we can do. And at times where we're not certain if it's day or night anymore, so at those times we're going to treat it as Shabbat already. But again, if we'll go with the understanding that there is a halachic, a physical reality of a moment which is twilight by creation, Hashem created twilight, so then we see here that Hashem is still creating. What one might say is that the word nivre'u doesn't say Hashem created. It could be Hashem allowed these things to be created. They were an evolvement that Hashem allowed to happen at that split second. Maybe. Yes?
Doesn't it also say that, it's not in the Pirkei Avot, but it also says that man was created? So would it look like that he's Mishpatet B'Briyat HaOlam? He was also created during the Bein Hashmashot?
I don't think so. So we'll learn the Mishnah. 10 things were created Erev Shabbat, Bein Hashmashot, Ve'eilu El. These are the 10 things. Pi haaretz, the mouth of the earth. Pi haber, the mouth of the well that Moshe Rabbeinu would strike. Pi haton, the mouth of the donkey that would talk to Bilam. Hakeshet, the rainbow. Daman, we know what man is. Whatever we know, we know. Vamate, and the staff, it would seem the staff of Moshe. Vashamir, and this worm called the Shamir worm, that wherever you place it, this worm carves out or cracks whatever it's placed on. Haketav, the writing. Vehamichtav. So maybe that's the shape of the letters. Valuchot, and the tablets themselves. V'yeshomrim, some say, I don't know who that is. Sometimes we have a code for Yeshomrim in Mishnah. Afa mazikin, even those creatures that harm. Yisrael, you heard that? Hamazikin, yeah, mazikin. Last night you were talking about demons and spirits, and according to some opinions, at twilight, Hashem created mazikin, creatures that harm. Ukvurato shel Moshe, and the burial place of Moshe. You could eat, I just want to make sure you didn't miss that point. You raised the question yesterday. Ukvurato shel Moshe, and the burial plot of Moshe Rabbeinu. We know there was something very unique about that cave where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried.
That's not Miriam
and Aaron. Oh.
Also died of
we're talking about the place of burial. Ve'ilo shel Avram Avinu. That's interesting. The ram of Avram Avinu. What's Avram Avinu's ram? Akedat Yitzchak. Why is it called a'ilo shel Avram and not a'ilo shel Yitzchak? Ve'yesh omrim af tzvat b'tzvat asuya. And some say, I guess this is a different yesh omrim than the first one, that also a plier. Tzvat is a type of plier that you can hold things in the fire with. Bitzvat asuya. We'll see what that means. So Rabbeinu Yonah explains. Pi haaretz. What is the mouth of the earth that was created at twilight of Shabbat? Lebliat Korach v'adato. That's the mouth of the earth that had to be there to swallow up Korach and his congregation. Shneimar, as the verse says, v'tiftach haaretz et piha. The mouth, the earth opened its mouth. So the earth has a mouth. Pi haber, the mouth of the well. Hasela sheika Moshe. We're talking about the opening of the rock which Moshe would hit. And when Moshe hits it, so the rock opens its opening. So that's interesting that that's called in the Mishnah Pi haber. We call it Be'era shel Miriam. Ordinarily the word Be'er is a well. And here the Torah tells us he hit the rock. Pihaton, the mouth of the donkey or similar animal. Yeah.
A well or a rock?
That's exactly the question. Over here it says the mouth of the well. And the commentaries say it's the rock that Moshe hit. So the question is, why is the rock called a well? The pasuk says, Vayetzeu mayim rabim. Much water came out of the rock. Vatesh ta'idau v'iram. And the whole congregation drank, and their cattle drank. Sounds like water flowed out of the rock. Why is the rock called a be'er? The Gemara calls it be'ira shel Miriam, the well of Miriam.
Is Miriam's well also a rock, or as opposed to a classic well?
My understanding is that Be'era shel Miriam was...
Was it just also a rock that also gave water?
I think it's one and the same. We don't understand that there are two things, Be'era shel Miriam and the rock. We understand that all the years we were in the desert, we had this rock that gave water. The first time Hashem told Moshe, hit the rock, and it didn't, water came out. And then when Miriam passed away, so the rock stopped giving its waters. And at that point, the congregation complained. Hashem said to Moshe, go to the rock and speak to it this time. So Moshe Rabbeinu, for whatever reason, hit the rock. And after he hit it twice, so the water kept flowing. That same rock that gave water was called the well of Miriam. We saw when Miriam passed away that we no longer had it. So that taught us that we had it all along in the merit of Miriam. So why is it called the well of Miriam if it was a rock that gave water? I don't know. Pihaton shel Bilam. We're talking about Bilam's donkey. Shenemal, the pasuk says, "Vayiftach Hashem et pihaton." Hashem opened the mouth of the donkey. So the Mishnah tells us, you should know that's a special mouth of the donkey that was created at twilight. That's also interesting because the pasuk describes it as Hashem opened the donkey's mouth. And from the Mishnah, we might have thought that that donkey was a very old donkey. It's been around since creation. How did it make it through the flood? I guess it was one of the two pure animals that went into the ark, right? If we're going to take it literally, I'm saying, if pihaton literally means there was a donkey with a special mouth, then that's what we would say. The pasuk says Hashem opened the donkey's mouth. So that sounds like Hashem made a miracle on the spot. Right? Over there it says the earth opened its mouth. Vatiftach ha'aretz et piha. Hakeshet, what's the rainbow? That's what it says, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's the regular rainbow. Sh'nemarat kashti natati ve'anan. So that also needs definition, because we understand it to mean the rainbow you see after the rain, which is a scientific phenomenon. What does it mean the rainbow was created? So you could explain it to mean that Hashem built into nature this ability that there would be a rainbow. And that's what we would have to ask on the whole Mishnah. What does the Mishnah mean these things were created at twilight? What do they mean? What does it mean, the mouth of the earth, the mouth of the well? Is it that Hashem created within creation the capacity for this to happen? And B, we would also have to ask, what's the importance of leaving this to twilight? Why do these things have to be created at that time? The Mishnah is telling us something. And why twilight at the end? Make a twilight of day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Why twilight of the final hour of creation? It's like, we're almost done. Okay, just a second. Let's just add these finishing touches. In the last second. The man, shel midbar, the man of the desert. So the man of the desert, again, was created, and it's been sitting there aging from creation till Am Yisrael came out of the desert, and then Hashem just dropped it from heaven, wherever they would be. Is that what it means? Does it mean Hashem built into creation the ability of such a thing to happen? And again, why would Hashem do that? Why is that important? The amate. My point is, does it really matter if Hashem makes a miracle when we're in the desert, or Hashem makes a miracle already from the time of creation? What's the difference? So let's say Hashem has a storage of man up in heaven, and He just decides where He'll shoot it down for us. You know, the Jews are there. Okay, let it fall there today. Today is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay, we'll send the man. Shabbos, no man. The whole system of the man was miraculous. That the man followed them where they traveled, and that it came down a double portion on Friday and a regular portion every other day. The whole system of the man is miraculous. So what is the Mishnah teaching us when the Mishnah says the man was created already from twilight? Does that change something in our understanding of the miracle? I'm posing the questions because we're going to see if Rabbeinu Yonah answers them, and if you guys choose, then next week we could take time to read the Rambam. The amate. So he said the staff is the staff of Moshe, Asher Sabot Otot, with which he did the miracles. Again, same question. The shamir, what is the shamir? That is kemin tola aroch haya. Interesting. I always thought it was a small worm. He says it was a long worm. Uvo bana melech Shlomo tamigdash haya misimo al even venivkat. He used that to build the Beit Hamikdash. There are two opinions in the Gemara. Whether he used that to build the Beit HaMikdash, or he only used that for the stones on the breastplate, for the carvings, for the intricate carvings. Because the Pasuk says, Umakavot ve'galzen, kol gili barzen, the different types of hatchets and hammers, lo nishma beveit Hashem, weren't heard throughout the Beit HaMikdash when they were building the Beit HaMikdash. You didn't hear building, hammering, banging. So one opinion says, right, because they did it all outside. Before they brought up the stones, they would chisel them, and everything was measured and planned exactly. So by the time the stone made it to the Beit HaMikdash, you didn't hear banging. That's what the Pasuk's saying. Look at what the Pasuk says. Lo nishma beveit Hashem. It wasn't heard in the house of Hashem. The Pasuk doesn't say it wasn't used. So that's why one opinion says the shamir wasn't used for every stone to cut it to size. The shamir was used for the intricate carvings. You had on the breastplate, you had the carvings of the letters of the names. You had on the shoulder stones. You had different things that needed carvings. But the stones themselves, that's who said the worm was used for the stones? So the Rabbeinu Yonah says it was. He goes with the opinion that they used that for the stones. Umakavot, and he quotes the pasuk. Umakavot v'agazen kokri bazel onshma b'bayit b'ibanoto. You didn't hear it throughout the house when it was built. And that's against the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The opinion of Rav Nachman that says that the shamir was only for the ephod. Okay, so yeah.
If it was for intricate carvings, wouldn't that make it a small worm?
Yeah, right. Look, the description, we have a medrash about how Yoav captured the worm. And the description of the, right, so the description is that there's this bird that carries it around in its, I don't know, what do you call bird's fingers?
Claws,
okay. So, thank you. So, I imagined that meant it wasn't so big. I mean, how big of a worm is a bird going to carry? But I guess it could hang down. What?
And the back of the bed as well.
Right. So, right. You guys are right. I don't have a good proof, right?
No, but if it's for intricate carving, now it's a small worm, and he says it's a big worm.
I don't think anyone saw it. I mean, they saw it in the days of Shlomo. It's not around, as far as we know, it's not around today. I think I might have heard either from Rabbi Tendler or Rabbi Leibel Resnick that they found some kind of worm that has an acid, that wherever it goes, it emits the acid, and they think it's that worm. I think, yeah, I don't remember if I heard this from Rabbi Tendler, that we're talking about 20 years ago, Or Rabbi Leibel Resnick, who they're both scientists. I'm saying rabbis and scientists. So, but they one of them I think told me that they have found, and they found this worm archaeologically. They found, I don't know if references to the worm, pictures of the worm, descriptions of the worm, but they have sources that indicate to them what the shamir might have been. It's guessing, but that's what they're thinking. Okay, so maybe we'll pause here when we speak about the writing, and we'll pick up here next week because we still have a lot to discuss about these things created at twilight. Yeah.